Chapter 5 tonight. If you go to Genesis chapter 5, I want to go ahead and get Bibles in the hands of you who maybe do not have one. If you know one thing about this place, I want you to know that this is a place that highly values God's Word, and whereas I take time to prepare the messages I preach, what is far more important than Brother Scott's words is God's words. And that's what we're trying to accentuate tonight. So if you need a Bible, just lift your hand right where you're at. We'll try to get that to you. And Brother Nathan is going to go ahead and pass out some outlines. I want you to take these thoughts home with you as we look at them together. And you get a chance to fill this out as we go through it. There's a lot of confusion in the day that we're living about this issue. And perhaps maybe 20 years ago, this would not have been a typical message that I would have preached. Of course, I wasn't preaching 20 years ago. I know you think I'm old, but not that old, okay? Nonetheless, there wasn't as much of a need back then as to this issue that we're going to talk about tonight. Let everybody get one of these, and maybe you've got a writing utensil, something you can use. Do me a favor, as you fill in these blanks and as I give them to you, please resist the temptation to doodle on this paper, turn it over, pass notes to whoever it is that is on your mind at the moment. Just do me a favor, let's lock in together. This is so you can take this home, put it somewhere, and hopefully be of help to you at a later date. Genesis chapter 5. And I would like us to see, there's actually a couple of places we can look at this. But let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves tonight. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 1. We'll look at verse 27. The Bible says this, "So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." In 2011, a baby named Storm was born into a couple living in Toronto. When the baby was born, the parents decided to not reveal its gender and instead sent out an email letting people know that this would be the case. In the email, they specified the reasoning behind this. And these are their words. We've noticed that so many parents make the choice for their kids, and it's just obnoxious. Storm is being given the option to choose which gender he would like to be. He will grow up free from expectations and social pressures. If Storm chooses to dress in pink and play with soldiers in the morning, that's okay. If Storm chooses to dress in blue and play with babies, that's okay too. On Facebook several years ago, they incorporated and added more than two genders for people to choose when creating an account. Last I checked, there were 71 different gender options that you could choose from on Facebook. Another social media platform called Tinder, there were 37 possibilities. And it leaves you wondering to yourself and asking the question, why 71? You know, why just 37? I mean, why not 250? I mean, why stop there? And the truth is, this is a question that our world is asking right now. You know, what about gender? You know, what's the deal with all of this stuff that we hear on a regular basis in the news and the media, what have you, about gender? And the truth is, without the anchor of God's Word in our lives, there's no telling to where we can end up. And there's no telling how someone could actually come to a conclusion or an answer in regards to this question. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. If you have not been challenged on this issue yet, I promise you, at some point in your life, you will be challenged on this issue. Whether it's a conversation between you and a friend or somebody that you meet for the very first time that is talking about gender or this or that, you will be confronted with this issue, and it's important that you know what God says about gender. And so we're going to look at that tonight. I think this is extremely important for where we're at. But would you notice with me what God wants us to know about our gender? Heavenly Father, Lord, would you guide us through, Lord, somewhat of a hot-button topic tonight? Lord, there is so much confusion in this world in relation to, Lord, what gender is, how many genders there are. Lord, and I find that sometimes Christians are caught up in that confusion. Lord, I pray that that would not be said for anyone sitting in this room, and that, Lord, we would with all clarity be able to see exactly what your word says about male and female. And Lord, may we take it a step further and all of us be able to embrace, Lord, who you made us to be. Lord, thank you for a book that, Lord, takes truth and gives it to us in a way that we can so easily understand it. Lord, may we listen and read with open hearts tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 26 and 29. We'll be in the book of Genesis mostly this evening, but this is what Isaiah said. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he hath no understanding? And so we look at this in Isaiah sort of in a prophetic way, talking about God's people, Israel, and referencing God the Father as the potter and Israel as the clay. It's almost as if the creation is looking to the Creator and saying, well, he's not really my creator. And what does he understand about me? Okay, that speaks into this issue of gender in the day and time in which we're living. Because there are a growing number of people who are acting and saying the very same thing. And so we have to look to the Bible. Let's notice together the first thing that we see here, what God says about to us about our gender. I want you to see, first of all, God revealed equality in Genesis chapter 1. He revealed equality. And it's really quite simple here. If you notice with me verse 26 and 27, you'll find these words, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created them." And so as we get into this, I want you to see that God created two genders. There is not a third. There is not 37. There is not 71. But it's just two, male and female. And so when we look at this, we're told right away, in fact, God tells repeatedly, we see it in chapter 3, chapter 5, he says the very same thing again. There is no confusion. God is telling us exactly what he created us to be. And he goes even further than that because he tells us how we ought to function as male and female. And one of those aspects, of course, is that God created us in equality, male and female. I want you to see that both are image bearers. That's the next blank, image bearers. We both, male and female, bear the image of God. And that is what is said here in verse 26, made in his own image. Okay, well, what is the image of God? Well, the Lord created us with mental capacity, the ability to choose. Okay, we all have that today, whether we're male or female. God gave that to us. Well, how else do we bear his image? Not only do we have mental capacity, but we have a moral capacity. We have a moral compass. God created us with that instilled in us. That is why you look the whole world over at culture after culture after culture, and you will see a set morality that springs up time and time and time again. God created you with a morality that is a part of your human nature. And that reflects his morality. He created us with mental capacity, the ability to reason. He created us with a moral compass. And then he created us to be so socially aware. Okay? We're made for fellowship. Okay? We respond to fellowship. We get together. It happens at mega time. After school is over and everybody gets in the room, all the ladies are giggling and all the guys are, what's up? You know, and we all connect in our own way, but we're all connecting. And why is that? Well, we do that naturally because that is the way God created us. Okay? It's not just ladies are that way and guys are not. It's that we all are that way because the Lord created us to be that. Morally, socially, we bear the image of our Creator. And as we read the Bible, we find that God's character, His characteristics, the way that He functions much like His creation because we bear His very image. And so how are male and female equal in today's world? Well, in some places they are not. And there are some cultures that male and female are not equal. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But we see here that we're image bearers, both male and female. And that's a special thing. Both image bearers. What else? Both have dominion. Both have dominion. That's the second one. Well, what do we have dominion over? Well, God gives it to us in verse 26. He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Boy, that's, God has given us a status. Okay, not only that, but He's allowed us to be able to have dominion and dominate the animal kingdom. Okay, I enjoy a good steak. Okay, I enjoy a good turkey dinner. Okay, I enjoy venison, deer, for those of you who don't know. I enjoy just about any type of meat. I love that. And you know, that's part of the dominion factor. The Lord gave us the ability to enjoy those things. He placed us above the animal kingdom. Well, did He do just that for men? Of course not. Did He do that just for ladies? Of course not. No, He allowed us to bear His image equally and in equality have dominion as well. So these are the ways that we are equal. What else? Both image bearers, both have dominion, both blessed of God. And I love this. Look at verse 28. Both blessed of God. Verse 28 here, and God blessed them. Talking about Adam and Eve here. Boy, God not only created us, and we're in an equal fashion, but He also looked at us and He said, hey, look, you both have my blessing. Boy, that's a special thing. Boy, what does that mean exactly? Well, that means that the blessing of God, that means that we have been released to accomplish His will. In other words, we're blessed of Him. He's given us a specific will for us to live out, and we can go forward in blessing. In other words, He's sanctioned us to behave a certain way and according to a set of principles. It also, as we go, it gives us the understanding that we have His blessing or His favor on us. Okay, understand that when you and I embrace who God made us to be, whether that's male or female, when we embrace that and we go forward with His blessing. He's essentially saying this, hey, listen, if you're a guy, walk according to who you are and who I want you to be, according to God's word. That's the blessed path. Okay, you can walk that path. If you're a lady, hey, walk according to the principles that we see in God's word and what He tells us. That, hey, that's the blessed path. But what's the alternative of that? What's the flip side of that? Boy, that means there's a whole lot of confusion today that is not the blessed path. Am I right? There's a whole lot more out there, and I don't even know, like, explain to me those 71 categories, okay? Because I don't even know how that works. But you know what? So much of that is the path that lacks God's blessing. And so when we go forward in the gender God has made us to be, and we embrace that, boy, we go not only knowing that we bear His image, we have dominion, but we are also blessed of God. And that ought to thrill our hearts. And then notice number four, what is God revealed equality? In what other ways are we equal? Well, we see in this passage, we see both considered good. That's the fourth blank. Look at verse 31. Verse 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Well, it was very good. Boy, that's the way God describes his creation of male and female. Boy, we're blessed of him, but we also have been looked at of God, and he stands back. He says, that is a good creation. Boy, I believe that God takes pride and takes encouragement when we embrace the gender that God made us to be. And so we see here that God revealed equality when he gives us and created the genders male and female. You know, and this just goes right in line with the rest of his word. But you know, as we talked about earlier, there are some other cultures that do not operate this way. They see male and female as operating on two different levels. And in fact, if you were to go to the other side of the world tonight and you were to observe something called Sharia law, how many of you have heard of Sharia law before? Okay, you would find these things to be true. Men are allowed to have up to 4 wives, but wives are only allowed to have 1 husband. It's interesting, right? In court, men are trusted, but women are not, generally speaking. In their culture, women cannot take a job without a man's consent. And wives, for the most part, are considered servants to their husbands. Okay? Now that is contrary to this book right here. And you know what? You look at the New Testament and the things that were going on in Roman culture of that day. Boy, the way the slaves were treated in that day, the way that women were treated, and what happens in the New Testament, God comes along and he says, hey, this is not right. And he's the one, the Bible is the one speaking out when the world is out of balance in regards to the genders. And so you and I have to go to the Bible. If we're believers, we have to go to his word and we have to say, okay, Lord, I hear a lot of things. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of junk on TV. I see a lot of things out there. But Lord, what do you say? How do I need to think about these things? And when we go to his word, he always has the answer. And so God revealed equality. Christ died for both genders. Obviously, John 3 and verse 16 says, for God so loved the entire world. 1 John 2 and verse 2, he's the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. We are blessed in that God sees us as equal. And he considers it good. God revealed equality. What else, though? What else do we see in this passage? Not only, number one, do we see that God revealed equality in the genders, but number two, we see God revealed diversity. Diversity. So what are we saying? There's some areas where we're the same. And those areas are important, but you know, there's also, on the other hand, there's some areas that we are very different. And those are important as well. So let's get into this. What is the God-revealed diversity that we see in Scripture? Go to Genesis chapter 2 with me. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Would you put your eyes on this? Genesis 2 and verse 7, we're looking at the diversity in what the Lord has created. In verse 7 it says, and the Lord God formed man, the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Would you see with me that creation was different? Creation was different. The creation of the woman was different than the man. Adam was taken from the ground. Eve was taken from the rib of the man. And there was a difference there. And certainly we can look to the genders and obviously know that there's diversity in them. There are certain qualities of Scripture that God has attributed to ladies. When you look here at Genesis, throughout the account of Adam and Eve, you see a woman that is embracing who God made her to be. She's not fighting that. She's not trying to be something other than what God made her to be. No, she is embracing who she is. We see that she is distinct. Ladies in Scripture are distinct. And the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5 that even the dress in Old Testament times would have been distinct for men and ladies. although they were equal and the same in many areas, there were certain areas that God said, hey, there's difference there, and there should be difference. And so we see that she is distinct in how she dresses. We see that she is distinct in how she looks. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. Talk about how the woman looks differently and how her hair is of great honor to her. Guys, I don't know that I've ever had a girl look at me and say, wow, your hair is just so honoring. You know, okay, no, that doesn't happen, all right? Guys, we don't tend to care about our hair a whole lot. But ladies, your hair, it's of beauty. It's an honoring thing in Scripture. And so there are differences here that we see. And you know, can I just say this? Listen, when we embrace the person that God made us to be, boy, just things are just great in so many aspects. Let me tell you this, guys, okay? I enjoy hanging around guys, all right? But I'm so thankful that my wife is not like most of you. Okay, I'm thankful. Okay, I would not want a woman who looked like a man. Okay, again, we get along great, fellas. We do a lot of special things together. Okay, but I love it when she's embracing who she is created to be. Okay, if I married someone who didn't care about the way they looked or wasn't concerned with, you know, doing her hair or things like that, doing feminine things, I would struggle with that, okay? Probably wouldn't have gotten married, all right? But when she embraces who she is meant to be and I embrace who I am meant to be, boy, that just works. And would it not when God is the one who created all of those things? I mean, there are some distinguishing factors when we look at Scripture, things that are associated with ladies and things that are associated with men. We see that the creation was different. God created them differently. And so what do we see on the guy's side of things? Well, if you look at the Scriptures, you'll notice that there are certain traits that associate itself to men. One of those things is physical strength. Physical strength throughout the Word of God. And I love the book of Joshua. There's men going into conquest and battles and things of that nature. Hey, you know what? I may not be the strongest guy in the room, but you know what? I can embrace things that are associated to me as a male. Okay, and you should too if you're a guy. If you look throughout the Bible, the young men. Here's a phrase that comes up periodically. You'll see the young men. Young men are helpers. That's a distinguishing characteristic of young men in the Bible. So what's happening? Well, young men, they're helpers, and they're doing this, and they're able to carry that. And a lot of time, young men have more strength than older men. And so you see, again, this idea of strength, using physical strength in a positive way, embracing who the Lord has made us to be. We see that there's equality, but there's also diversity. And that diversity is in regards to creation. We're created differently. But number two, I want you to see our responsibilities are different. We have different responsibilities. Boy, a lot of this often shows up when you get a little older maybe than what you are now, and you have maybe a home or you have a situation where you're now a married man and that sort of thing. But responsibilities are different if you look at a man in Scripture and a lady in Scripture. What are some of those things? We could see that Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Go there with me. You're not far from it. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Okay, so there is responsibility for the man here, and he is given responsibility. And he's really taking the lead on keeping the garden. God gave him and put him in that position, even before Eve came along. If we took the time and turned to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, we see that God gives the leadership of the home to the man. And so we see here a different responsibility. We notice even we can look to Adam and see him as a provider. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 says that if any man provides not for his home, he is worse than an infidel. Boy, that's strong language. And yet, a responsibility, a big responsibility given to men in that regard. And so you see some responsibilities there. What are some responsibilities on the woman's side of things? Well, we could turn to Proverbs 31. Boy, we could point out a lot of things in Proverbs 31 of the virtuous woman and the things that she is doing for her family and for her children and the responsibilities that she has. We notice Eve comes along, and what does the Lord tell her? He says, listen, you've got some responsibilities too, and I want you to be a help to him, Adam, not a hindrance, but to be a help. And of course, the woman's also told to honor the leadership as well. So we see here, the Bible tells us, and there are more that we could talk about, our time is limited, but there's some real areas in which God says, hey, look, male and female, there's equality there. And yet there's diversity. And in that diversity, we have different responsibilities. But let's keep going. Notice God reveals personal responsibility, number three. Personal responsibility. God reveals equality. He reveals diversity. But we see that God reveals responsibility. Genesis chapter 3, I want you to see here just the account of the fall. And I want you to take notice of the sequence of events that unfolds here as the serpent comes to Eve. Look at Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field with which the Lord God had made, and said unto the woman, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And verse 7, the eyes of them were both open. They knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. And verse 8, what happens? And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commandest thee that thou shouldest not eat? The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree and did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. You know what you noticed here, especially as the passage continues to unfold? You see that male and female, no matter their part in this situation here, God held them both responsible. There is personal responsibility for every single person in this room, whether you're a guy or whether you're a girl. We have a responsibility to our Creator. And for that reason, we ought to care what He says. And we ought to understand how life works and how we can walk the blessed path. There's a personal responsibility that is revealed here. And of course, they had great consequences in this for not embracing God's path. And of course, those consequences unfolded in that the first, we see that the woman was then to have pain in childbearing. We see that the man, when he worked, it was going to be hard, and the ground was going to work against him, and it was going to be very difficult. We see equality, we see diversity, we see a responsibility here. But I want you to get real practical here as we close tonight, and I want us to see and answer the question, what does this mean? Okay, what is it? How can we apply these truths? Go to Genesis chapter 5, Genesis chapter 5, and notice verse 2 here. Bible says, male and female created he them. He blessed them, called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Boy, this was God's plan. You know, he doesn't give it to us in one chapter at the beginning of everything. No, what is he doing? Every chapter, we're finding this phrase. And he's repeating it and he's reiterating it. And I believe because we need it in the day that we're living in. And so let's take some of these principles and let's apply it to some extremes of our culture today. Number one, I want you to see this, okay? Notice God's creation of genders leaves no room for chauvinism. There is no room for chauvinism. Now, some of you may not be familiar with that term, male chauvinism. It's intentional disrespect of a woman. It's someone who looks at the opposite gender and says, well, you know, you're less than what I am, or you're less for whatever reason. And someone who does not treat someone else with the type of honor and respect that they should. And, you know, when we misunderstand or we are disobedient in regards to what God has said about male and female, boy, we're in a place that is not the place of God's blessing. Boy, it is the place, the path that is not blessed of God. And so sometimes we've got to be careful. I know sometimes guys, we can joke in an unhealthy way. Sometimes teenagers can get alone and they can say things, but I think we've got to be very mindful of our words, because the reality is God's creation of genders leaves no room for male chauvinism. So ladies, let's address you. Creation, God's creation number two of genders contradicts radical feminism. This is another extreme today. You know, there are ladies today who would stand and say, we want equality, when what they are doing is many times they are putting down that of the man and treating them less than what God intends them to be. And so we've got to be careful of extremes, and an extreme place is where the devil wants us all to be, but there is a balance here of looking at God's word and seeing for what it is. Radical feminism is the glorification of a woman that desires to cast off any type of male leadership. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24, even as the church is subject to Christ. God's creation of genders honors the role of mother and wife. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18 talks about a helpmeet. I think it's interesting that, you know, so many times ladies excel in the area of being with children and dealing with children, and that's partially because of the way that God created women to connect. God's creation of genders honors the role of husband as provider. And so there's endless application in regards to this. Can I challenge you tonight? Listen, don't get your philosophy for living from your favorite sitcom. You know, don't get your reason for doing what you do from what the guy down the street does. Don't look for direction in how to live your life and embrace who God made you to be by looking at something other than God's word. Like I said, there's a lot of confusion on this issue, but when we embrace who God called us to be, there is less conflict and there is more joy. When it comes to some of that confusion, I think it's important that we note that those who would say, well, I believe that I can be whatever I want to be. You know, maybe God created me with male characteristics, but, you know, I don't care because I'm going to be whatever I want to be. And I can change who I am. And I'm going to do just what I want to do. And I want you to understand that there are people who have walked that path. And often they seem to be in the spotlight of today, and it seems like an ever-growing number of people. But I think that you also need to understand that that is the path of more conflict and less joy. I want you to consider a couple of things. Notice that people who walked that path, the transgender lifestyle, okay, the homosexual lifestyle, you know, men who pursue other men or ladies that pursue other ladies and then pursue a child rearing in home situations, understand that is conflict on so many levels. You say, what kind of levels? Well, understand that there's a greater risk of health issues. Boy, this isn't something that's talked about. Boy, it's celebrated in our world today. Yeah, look at you. You're being what you want to be. You know, on the opposite side of that billboard, there are people who have great health issues because of that lifestyle that they are trying to live. Well, that's not often talked about, but it's a real thing. You say, what else? What other conflict could be there? Well, there's a greater degree of hopelessness. You know, the suicide rate among those people is the highest than any other group. You say, why is that? Because they are fighting against the person that they are. And they can never change that. There is an internal battle at their very core. They are trying to change who God made them to be. And because of that, there is no peace. There is no rest. And many of those people, sad to say, end up taking their lives. Greater risk of health issues, greater degree of hopelessness, and a greater propensity for relational issues. Well, you look at situations where there's a guy and a guy trying to bring up kids. There's a reason why there is all types of conflict in that situation. You look at two women who are trying to unite to accomplish something that, boy, flies in the face of what God blessed. And you look at that situation and the relational issues that are at play there and the conflict. Well, you begin to peel back the layers of understanding that they are trying to go against something that the Lord established a long time ago. And so for that reason, I say this. Listen, when you and I embrace who God made us to be, where we are walking a favored path that has less conflict and more joy. But when we put off who we are, just understand that that is a path that is riddled with conflict along the way. I don't expect there to be a big group of people at the altar tonight. This is a teaching moment for all of us to ignore Hollywood and embrace the Bible. Because Hollywood is so confused on this issue. And chances are you've met someone, you maybe have a friend or even maybe a cousin who has been affected by this. And there will come a time where you will have a conversation with somebody, and I wonder if we know where we stand. I wonder if we know what the Bible says about equality, diversity, responsibility, and how we ought to think and live. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for being so clear on an issue that is so confused today. Lord, I thank you for what you've created all of us to be. Lord, sometimes there is confusion in our minds. Sometimes, Lord, we've gotten so far from you that, Lord, we entertain thoughts that we shouldn't. Lord, sometimes we get comfortable watching relationships on TV, Lord, that are an abomination to you. And Lord, we get comfortable with things that, Lord, you want us to stay far away from. And if we're not careful, Lord, that can begin to rewire us in some sense. Lord, I pray that every guy here in this room tonight would embrace, Lord, their masculinity. And Lord, every woman, every girl in this room tonight would embrace their femininity. And Lord, that each one of us would take a hard look at what your word says about us. And Lord, may we not put it off, but embrace it in every way. Lord, I pray there wouldn't be any confusion in our midst. But Lord, we would know the way you want us to act, the way you want us to be. Lord, we ask that you'd bless this invitation time. Lord, if there's someone here struggling tonight in a particular aspect of this, or maybe they've been having conversations with someone who is, Lord, I pray that they'd be able to give a little more clarity to that conversation. And Father, I pray that we would not be easily removed from it. In your name we pray. Amen. With eyes closed and heads bowed, if God's worked in your heart in any regard, the piano will play and our invitation time will be open.